The Toronto Scarborough Rapist Murders. The crisp air of the 1980s and early 1990s in Toronto, particularly in the sprawling suburbs of Scarborough, was once a comforting blanket for its residents. Children played on tree-lined streets, families gathered for barbecues, and a sense of community prevailed. But beneath this veneer of suburban tranquility, a sinister shadow was beginning to stretch. A shadow that would soon engulf the city in fear and horror. It began subtly with a series of disturbing sexual assaults. The victims, young women, were targeted with chilling precision, their lives irrevocably shattered by acts of brutal violence. As the assaults escalated, so did the fear. Whispers turned into hushed conversations, then into panicked news reports. The perpetrator, a phantom in the night, became known by a moniker that struck terror into the hearts of Torontonians, the Scarborough Rapist. The investigation was a painstaking, frustrating affair. Police resources were stretched thin, and the elusive nature of the attacker left investigators grasping at straws. The fear wasn't just confined to the victims. It permeated entire neighborhoods. Parents kept their children indoors after dusk. Women walked in groups, and the simple act of being alone at night became a source of profound anxiety. The city, once proud of its safety, was now a breeding ground for fear. The timeline of terror stretched for years. Between 1983 and 1995, over 24 women were victims of sexual assault. The attacks were not random. The perpetrator demonstrated a chilling pattern of behavior, showing meticulous planning and a disturbing lack of remorse. The media, initially cautious, began to report more extensively, amplifying the public's fear and frustration. The pressure on the Toronto Police Service mounted with each passing incident. The breakthrough, when it finally came, was as shocking as the crimes themselves. It didn't involve a lone wolf, but a couple. In 1991, police arrested Carla Hamalka and her husband, Paul Bernardo. What initially seemed like a case of domestic abuse quickly unraveled into something far more horrific. Hamalka, it turned out, was not merely a victim but an active participant, and Bernardo, the charming, seemingly normal husband, was the monstrous figure behind the Scarborough Rapist moniker. The full scope of their depravity was revealed through a series of harrowing court proceedings. Bernardo was eventually convicted of 2 murders, rape, and the sexual assault of his sister-in-law. Hamalka, in a plea bargain that shocked the nation, pleaded guilty to manslaughter in the deaths of 2 young girls, Kristen French and Leslie Mahaffey, and was sentenced to 12 years in prison. The details that emerged, the videotaped assaults and murders, the sheer brutality, the calculated cruelty, were almost unimaginable. The trials and the ensuing media frenzy captivated and horrified Canada. The nation grappled with the nature of evil, the complicity of one partner in the other's heinous acts, and the very definition of justice. The sentence handed down to Hamalka, in particular, ignited a firestorm of public outrage. Many felt it was too lenient, a slap on the wrist for her role in the horrific crimes. This sentiment fueled a broader debate about sentencing, victim rights, and the role of plea bargains in the justice system. The impact of the Bernardo Hamalka case extended far beyond the courtroom. It left an indelible scar on the collective memory of Toronto and Canada. The fear that had once gripped Scarborough was replaced by a deep-seated unease, a stark reminder of the darkness that can lurk beneath the surface of ordinary life. The case prompted a review of police procedures, a greater emphasis on victim support services, and a national conversation about serial offenders and the psychological profiles of those who commit such atrocities. Decades later, the story of the Scarborough Rapist and the couple behind the terror remains a chilling chapter in Canadian history. It serves as a potent reminder of the fragility of security, the depths of human depravity, and the enduring struggle for justice. It's a story that forces us to confront the uncomfortable truth that monsters don't always wear masks. Sometimes, they live next door. The echoes of fear and outrage from those dark years continue to resonate, a somber testament to the lives forever altered by the crimes of Paul Bernardo and Carla Hamalka.